I'll begin this morning with two stories, both revealing hope, but the outcomes are very different. The first were there were four ladies in a senior's home when a nurse wheeled in a gentleman about their age that looked quite dapper. And one of the ladies said, "Where have you been all these years?" And he said, "Well, the last 25 years I've been in prison because of killing my wife." And one of the ladies perked up and said, "So what you're saying is you're single." During Gladys Aylward's harrowing journey out of war-torn China during the communist takeover, she faced one morning with no apparent hope of reaching safety. A 13-year-old girl tried to comfort her, saying, "Don't forget what you told us about Moses in the wilderness." To which Gladys replied, "Yes, dear, but I'm not Moses." And the young girl replied, "Yes, but God is still God." Hope is very important to each of our existence, not only for today, but for the future. Unfortunately, some things we put our hope in will let us down, like the stock market, our job, our friends. But there is only one who will not disappoint, is Jesus. Let's pray. God, we spend so much time and energy building our own kingdoms, attempting to insulate them from all that could go wrong. We are lulled into a false security that we can protect ourselves and control our outcome, but we can't. Come be our foundation of hope, Lord Jesus, in a world that has lost theirs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is going to come out of Psalm 33, 12 to 22. Ernie's put it up there for you. I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 33, 12 to 22. "Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the heart of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save you. Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive from famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." Many of the Psalms are written by King David, who was one of Israel's greatest kings. The Psalms were a collection of poetry that were often put to song to be sung. Well, maybe we should just stop right now and sing if we could sing this song a cappella. What do you think? Okay, we'll keep moving. Within them, they have the ability to capture every range of emotion, joy, heartache, hope, to despair. Psalm 32, which is a penitent or repentant psalm, is closely connected with Psalm 33, which now calls the upright in heart to rejoice and sing. Psalm 33 is a hymn of praise to God, celebrating his wonderful character, creative power, and sovereignty over all he has made. Because God is faithful and his words are dependable, we can respond by singing with thanksgiving. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you just wanted to sing? In the shower, driving the car alone, walking in the vast created world. But there's also a barrage of voices, competing voices, all around us, promising to bring us the things we so desperately long for, the things we're hoping for. But these voices can rarely provide what they promise. There's only one who is completely reliable and deserves our hope and trust. And of course, this is God. Starting in Psalm 33, verse 12, the passage says, "Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his heritage or as his own." It's likely the nation has just experienced a complete deliverance from one of their enemies. Have you ever been moved by the singing of the national anthem? Often at Olympics, the winner of the gold medal will weep as the song is being played of their country. Through difficulty and hardship, they have defeated their opponents. But the victory is not only theirs, it's also celebrated by the country they represent. Right now, the World Cup is going on. Some of you have been following it. People are crazy. They'll come from all ends of the earth to go wherever to watch this game with thousands and thousands of other people. And when they lose, they're not happy. As emotionally charged as our worldwide sporting events could be, how much more when a people are freed from the domination of another country to sing, to laugh, to have hope again. This song declares that whatever may come, the people of God are safe under God's protective rule. There's no one else that they would want to be under than the Lord because of his loyal love directed toward them. Psalm 33, 13 to 15. The Lord looks down from heaven on his throne. He sees all the inhabitants of the earth. He even sees their inner thoughts. From God's vantage point, he can see the big picture, not only in our lives, but that also of our neighbor. Nothing is hidden from his eyes, and the plans and purposes of all people are transparent to him, and their willingness or lack thereof to trust him. Psalm 139 echoes how transparent we are before the Lord. O Lord, you've examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. There's no place that we can go that God is not present. This is a comfort for those who are pursuing Jesus and maybe a worry for those who'd rather hide. Psalm 33:15 says, he who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The New Living Translation says it like this. He made their hearts so he understands everything they do. God does not control us like robots, but gives us the freedom in how we're going to act toward him and others. We can shake our fist at him all day long for perceived injustices, and he is not going to strike us down, even when we misunderstand and misrepresent him. From the beginning of time, God knew the best way to interact with his creation was to love them unconditionally. He pours mercy and grace upon us when we deserve punishment for hurting others and defying him. He knows exactly what is inside each one of us and how to flush out the poison that builds within from sin and brokenness. And he does this by loving us minute by minute of every day. Psalm 103, 10, 11 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Psalm 33, 16 to 17, the psalm continues by saying, a king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save. Today we see presidents and prime ministers of countries attempting to control people with all the latest military gadgets, but even this does not always work. Verse 15 and 16 start out with royalty and finally ends up with a blue-collar war horse. The king whose kingdom is only as secure as the strength of his army cannot depend on them to save him. Superior and larger armies do not always win the battle, which has been proven throughout history over and over. A Japanese attack on Hawaii was regarded as the most unlikely thing in the world, with a 1,000,001 chance of success, besides having the most powerful defenses of any other American base. It was protected by distance. Psalm 33:16. Next, it's the mighty warrior who cannot depend on his own personal strength to save him. Even the strongest of people have an off day. At the Olympics, the underdog seems to win as often as the favorite. Finally, Psalm 33:17, the last line of defense. The war horse cannot save you. This is surely not out of lack of desire, for the horse's survival is linked to its master. We may not be putting our trust in the government. But we can easily place our trust in money, in relationships, in jobs, or anything that seems to be holding the pillars of our empire presently. But just like the war horse, they will fail. Psalm 33, 18, 19. There is one who is watching out in all of our best interests. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him or revere him, on those who hope in his steadfast love to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God's plan and purpose are for those who are willing to acknowledge him in their lives, for the Lord to bring divine deliverance. For those who put their absolute dependence on him, he'll make a way for them. Some would say that they believe in God, yet it's through their own self-reliance and power they push everything through. The psalmist is saying that those who are willing to give up complete control to God can freely place their hope in his unfailing love. 2 Chronicles 16:9a, it says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I'm going to say that again. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God knows that we need strength. He wants to meet us. Psalm 33 concludes in verses 20 and 22 as the people of God reaffirm their faith in him. Psalm 33, 20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our sword and shield. The community of faith, waits patiently for God to do what he said he'd do, deliver them. Have you ever tried to deliver yourself or someone you cared about? The idea here of God helping them, of being their shield, is like one who provides desperately needed service, like giving food to people in the midst of a famine, or medical care to someone at an emergency of a hospital. God gives the kind of movable protection that a shield affords a soldier in combat. The writer continues, Psalm 33, 21. Our hearts are glad in him because we trust in his holy name. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. God's name represents his character. He is faithful. He is steadfast, forgiving, merciful, full of unfailing love. Our hearts are glad because we can trust what God is going to be like in relationship to us. Psalm 33, 22. Let your steadfast love be upon us, even as we hope in you. The New Living says it like this. Your unfailing love surrounds us. Lord, our hope is in you alone. When God, who fully knows every part of us, loves us, accepts us, forgives us, we know we're truly in a safe place. In 1896, Henry Ford attended a company event where Thomas Edison, the greatest inventor ever, was present. He was a guest of honor. A friend introduced Ford to Edison, and this is what he said to Ford. The man trying to make a car that runs on gasoline. Edison asked Henry Ford question after question. And finally, when their talk was over, Edison banged his fist down on the table. And he said, young man, that's it. You have it. The car is a self-contained and carries its own power plant. Years later, Ford would reflect on this meeting. He said in a newspaper interview, that bang on the table was worth worlds to me. No person up to that time had given me any encouragement. I'd hoped that I was headed in the right direction. Sometimes I knew I was. I only wondered. But here all at once, out of the clear sky, the greatest inventive genius in the world had given me complete approval. The man who knew most about electricity in the world, Edison, had said that for the purpose, my gas motor was better than any electric motor could be. If we're going to fulfill the purpose of our lives, we are going to need hope to walk with us. Throughout the scriptures, there are examples of how God delivered people, like David as a young, inexperienced boy against the giant military man Goliath? Where did David put his hope? In the Lord his God. But there were other examples, such as Saul, who grew impatient and could not wait for God to show up, so he did it for himself, to his own demise. Things are changing so rapidly in our world that what the best and most durable today is obsolete tomorrow. Computers are a great example of this. My dad, who I thought was going to set me up in business, was there one day and gone the next because of a heart attack. In Psalm 103:15-17, it says, "Our days on earth are like grass. Like a wildflower, we bloom and we die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been." There are times in our lives where it seems like God has not delivered as we had expected or wanted. And in these times, we continue to trust when we cannot see the big picture like he can. But listen to verse 17 from Psalm 103. "But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children." God promises to extend from generation to generation. In the response to God, the people from Psalm 33 were first of all to wait and hope. But being able to wait for God to do things in his timing can seem like an eternity. We want the healing for our sorrow and pain to come immediately. We want our broken relationships to be restored. We want our financial crunch to disappear. We want the mistakes and disappointments of the past to evaporate so we can go on in our lives. But it is in hope. We trust that God is going to bring us through when we can't see the way through. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This is what we want. This is what those who went before us were commended for. When things are not happening fast enough, we want to make them happen. But there's a better option. It's the salvation of the Lord comes to those who wait hopefully. At the Red Sea, God rescued. At the fiery furnace, God delivered. At the lion's den, God saved. Psalm 33, secondly, they rejoiced in the one they trusted. We often put our celebration on hold until the cat is in the bag. What does that mean exactly, that the cat is in the bag? Are there cats running around the house that you're putting in the bag? We got the job. We obtained the A on the course. We won the championship game. But we're called to worship God in spite of what we can or cannot see, because nothing is impossible for him. Psalm 4, 6, and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace." To quote the Jewish Publication Society, "What the Lord plans endures forever. What he designs lasts for ages on end." Psalm 33, the third part, is that they prayed for God's unfailing love to rest upon them. We need to know daily that we are loved, that Jesus calls us beloved sons and daughters of God. When the things are right in the interior of our lives, we know we are loved. Then we can deal with the external challenges. We all need the presence and favor of God to rest upon us. Jesus is our hope. He is the only one who will be with us always in every situation we find ourselves in. Jesus is the only reliable foundation for our trust and our hope. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to wait patiently as we need you to deliver us. Help us to rejoice in all the circumstances in life as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And finally, we ask that your unfailing love will be poured out on each one of us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
rest alone. My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
You may be seated. I'm going to do a couple announcements. My benediction, we'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. So the big thing that's happening these days is Advent. And so we encourage you all through Advent, right up to Christmas Eve, as many services that you can be a part of, as we create a sensitivity and a space for what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. Even the song, it's interesting. People often don't tie the birth of Christ with the death of Christ. And it was always going to be that way. It was going to be the way that he brought hope to our world, peace to our world, joy to our world, and his love. The other thing, of course, that's going to happen after church next Sunday, we encourage everybody to come, is the lunch supper. It'd be lunch dinner, I guess, Canadian-wise. And there'll be a lot of food, and we'll have a lot of fun. So we encourage you to invite your friends to come with it. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that when we place our hope in God, he holds us no matter what circumstance or situation may come in our life, no matter how intense, no matter how painful, no matter how broken, even here, he is the one that holds us. Amen.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I sing, your grace is enough, I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me.
Be blessed this week.